Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this beautiful, cooler morning outside. It's a joy to see each of you and to be able to worship in person once again. Thank you, as always, for your attention to our new normal of in-person worship for our physical distancing and face coverings. We also want to say thanks for your faithful tithes and offerings as we continue to experience a high level of need in our outreach ministries, and also just to keep up with our bills. It turns out it doesn't cost any less to keep the lights and air conditioning on just because there's fewer people in the sanctuary. Funny how that works out. Also, please remember at the end of our service to let our ushers dismiss us row by row to avoid a log jam as we make our way outside following our service. And this morning, please pay attention to the hymns that are printed inside your bulletin inserts. They're not printed in the usual order. This morning, the opening hymn is on the inside page, and the hymn of contemplation is on the front. We did that just to keep you all on your toes. Actually, we had to move things around just a little bit to make room for some additional verses in one of our later hymns today. And folks, we all want nothing more than to resume things like having our hymnals and Bibles in the pews. Did you ever think you'd miss turning to the right page of the hymnal? Kind of miss that, don't we? And also having our choir and our children's ministries back in action. So it's important for us to follow our cautionary procedures now so that we can fully reopen later. So thanks again for your patience and understanding as we experience a somewhat modified worship service. So folks, welcome again. It's good to see you all here, and we'll invite Andrew to lead our call to worship.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue. The Lord is all I have, and so in Him I put my hope. Let us sing our opening hymn, Rise Up, O Saints of God, number 611.
Rise up, O saints of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O saints of God, the kingdom tarries long. And end the night of wrong. Rise up, O saints of God, the church for you doth wait, with strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make it great. Lift high the of Christ, tread where Christ's feet have trod. Come, sisters, brothers in the faith, rise up, O saints of God.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Holy God, it is with gratitude that we enter your house this morning. We are thankful for the ability to be here in person, despite our need to maintain physical distance. We pray, Lord, for your blessings as we begin our worship service. Bless our gathering, and may we experience the presence of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship together. It is in the name of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. A number of people for us to lift up in prayer as we make our way through the new week. We especially want to remember Art and Janet Kinder. Art had a fall at his home, and it resulted in a need to replace the ball and socket of his right hip. That has been done, and he is now in the rehabilitation center called Ignite, which is just to the west of the church here. So please remember Art and Janet in your prayers. Good news for Doug Gentry, mass that he has internally, it's been discovered that that's benign, and it just needs to be monitored. So no surgery at hand at the present time, and that's good news, certainly a good relief for Doug and Gail Gentry. Continue to remember Ken and Roxy Weaver. If there was a knee that needed to be replaced among the two of them, it's going to be replaced in 6 months. They're having all four knees replaced in this six-month time period, and so they're doing this in staggered results here, making good progress. But, I mean, what else can you do when you got the COVID thing going on, right? I tell you what, if there's a time period to do it, I guess now it is. Of course, you know, staying at home, hopefully that's going to be working out well for them. Also want to lift up Ken's brother, Terry Weaver, and his wife, Chris. Both have been having some health concerns. They live over in Colorado. We lift up Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Raina Ralston, in the midst of her concerns. And again, Ruth Ann, did she end up being hospitalized or not at the end of the week? Not yet. Okay. See how next week progresses here. We lift up Phil and Arlita White as Arlita is recovering from that knee replacement surgery herself. Ted, it's a joy to see you. We're so delighted you could be back in worship with us. Praise God. We continue to remember Helen Kirby in the midst of her recovery. And Kathy, it's a joy to see you too. Bless you. Glad you're here this morning. And praise God. We're glad you could be with us. And we lift up Pam Roberts in the midst of her health concerns, too. Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew, Kent. Susan Hanks' daughter, Candace, is making steady progress, and that's certainly very encouraging. And the Gorman's nephew, Jeff Schultz, is in our prayers. Lana's daughter, Amy Sander, she's actually recovering from the COVID-19 virus. Debbie Davison's father, Ferris Idle, is in our prayers. And certainly a number of other people we've been remembering that you've seen on the prayer chain. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with humble hearts that we bow before your presence in prayer this Lord's Day morning. For the privilege to be renewed in spirit by assembling in your house and feeling the joy of one another's presence and the blessing of your Holy Spirit, we give you thanks. As uncertainty seems to reign in the midst of the ongoing pandemic, fires to the west, storms in the Midwest and the South, job losses, in the midst of it all, we call upon your Spirit for guidance. For Psalm 34, verse 18 reminds us that the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. Even as we may find ourselves weary, may we be reminded that your Son and our Savior Jesus certainly knew of life's challenges as he dwelt among us here on earth. Jesus knew weariness, as John chapter 4 tells us. As he was tired from the journey, he sat down by the well and sought after a cool drink of water from the jug of the Samaritan woman. And certainly Jesus knows of human suffering as he bore the weight of our sins on the cross. But we rejoice in the truth that even as Christ our Lord was victorious over pain, suffering, sin, and death, he offers everyone a pathway to hope and reassurance. As the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 147, you, O God, heal the brokenhearted and bandage their wounds. And as Revelation chapter 21 assures us concerning the hereafter, you will wipe away all tears, and there will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. In your eternal realm, O God, we know that the old things will have disappeared. So even as the year 2020 plods along with many challenges, O God, may we truly find hope and assurance in your great love and in your plan of salvation for all humanity. This we pray as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mary Jane and Lenora. What a blessing as our music ministry is to us here at Berry. As we begin our time of communion, instead of our traditional gathering at the Lord's table, and during these days of social distancing, may we instead turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Everything you do or say, then, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Our hymn of contemplation is number 559, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, stanzas 1 and 3.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. Father's house above, when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Scripture reading I'd like to share with you this morning, this is from the book of Colossians. And of course, since we're doing these 3:16 messages, as we have been over the last seven previous weeks, we know it's the third chapter and it involves the 16th verse, so it's chapter 3. Verse 12 through 17 in Colossians. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then, you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. Christ's message, in all its richness, must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through him to God the Father. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are again privileged to be in your house. For we do know that as we assemble here, we are empowered, we are enriched, we're renewed in spirit, and certainly in our fellowship with one another, in spite of the adjustments we need to make from what is our typical routine. But Lord, most of all, we know we are renewed here because your spirit abides with us, and we are given the privilege to lift up a life of characteristics that truly is like that of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning's reading begins with this 12th verse of Colossians in the New Testament. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. Paul's thoughts are hearkening back to his Jewish heritage as he writes these words to the new believers in Colossae. Paul remembers from Deuteronomy chapter 7 that God chose the Hebrew nation to be his own people. And as he came from the Jewish heritage, certainly Paul knew what that characteristic meant, to be called God's people. Called by God, not because they were more powerful than other nomadic nations or because they outnumbered them, but simply as Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, God loved them and wanted to keep the promise that he made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Surely all of us can have an appreciation for the special feeling of being chosen. Can you remember in your grade school years some of the tasks that you could be chosen for? One of them, back in my time period, was the privilege to be able to take the trays from your fellow students, and with a spatula you got to scrape off the leftovers into the trash can. Anybody else have that duty? Am I the only one? Oh, so a couple of you. I remember that duty, but you know, pretty sloppy work there. You know, you think that, oh, I don't want to do that. No, it was a privilege to be able to do that. Or how about to be one of the erasers. There you go. Dolly, you got that? There was just something about the privilege of being able to do that. Or how about to be a patrol boy or girl? You know, and you got to hold the signs out on the street and stop all the traffic. It was quite a feeling, you know, to have that task in that time period. Being chosen is really special. And so as the text continues with verse 13, as Paul says, God has chosen you to be believers, if you will. So then, and so there's emphasis on this, so then, in other words, because of what God has done for you, then you are to respond by what? He says, so then you must clothe yourselves. What's the value of clothing? Well, it used to be that clothing was a mark of distinction. Now, it seems like even T-shirts and shorts have kind of even become the dress wear of some executives. It's kind of hard to tell nowadays what counts, you know. But I can remember, you know, when clothing meant something. I remember when I sold men's clothing back in my college years, here this, the mother is bringing her son along, you know, about a junior high age young man. And boy, you could tell he was a bit reluctant about coming into this men's clothing store where we sold Hart Schaffner and Mark suits, you know. And she says, I want my son to have a nice suit and a matching shirt and tie and all of that. Well, you know, so sure enough, we had all the racks, and we were able to get a measurement that fit him, even despite his age and size. We worked and worked, and we got it all set up, laid it on all out there, and, you know, with the mother while the son's sitting there, you know, kind of like this, got the shirt color, got the tie color, got everything to match, and then, of course, got him to go put it all on and get it all set up. He comes up to the mirror, you know. You know, they say, well, do the clothes make the person, or the person make the clothes? Well, as that young man was all, he just kind of slouched there. Surely, we know that the person really makes the clothes, right? But yet, here, Paul is telling us we are to clothe ourselves. Well, how? Clothe ourselves with distinction. You know, a bride and groom have distinctive clothes for the celebration of their ceremony. Scouts are to wear the uniform. People in uniform services wear the distinctive uniforms of their service to the community, the state, or the nation. You know, and the church in West Texas that I served before coming here, Brian and Bob were respectively a deacon and an elder in that church. At church, they were both very personable, very fun-loving, good for a great joke and a great laugh, both of them. But by golly, when they put on the uniform of their service, they were Texas Highway Patrolmen. Not only was that uniform always just as crisp as it could be in spite of all that hot, humid weather out there, you know, it's their demeanor took on the distinction of being an officer. And there was no joking, and there was no jostling about, you know, when they were in uniform. Put on the uniform, if you will, Paul is saying. You're to clothe yourselves with things that help to establish a level of distinction. So as verse 12 continues, so then you must clothe yourselves with, well, with what? With compassion, gentleness, humility, patience. And in the 13th verse, Paul also adds tolerance and forgiveness as distinctive qualities. And then with verse 14, he tells us that all these distinctive characteristics are to bind themselves together in love that offers unity. Verse 14 says, and to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. As new as the Christian faith was in Colossae, as well as in many other metropolitan Greek cultured cities of the Mediterranean, there was always the threat of pagan beliefs infiltrating those home churches for the Christian communities and corrupting the purity of the gospel message. Here in Colossae, there were those called the Gnostics, saying that Christ was merely one of God's emanations, and certainly he was not even really the true Son of God. He was just one more revelation of God. Paul knew that these folks needed to center themselves on Christ in Christ-like ways. Paul wanted the believers to know that their genuine Christ-like loving regard for one another would be the glue that would help bind them together in Christ's ways and truths. You know, certainly a married couple that's been married for decades understands that. Love binds all things together in unity. For husbands and wives clearly and quickly discover the myriad of ways in which they are different when it comes to taste, habits, interests, and quirks. Many of these need to be overlooked for unity to come about in great love for one another. Even as Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, and now I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. Then as the 15th verse is written, Paul says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions that you make. For it is this peace that God has called you together in the body. And be thankful. Now this word in the Greek that's used for guidance actually is the same word that we have in our English language for the word umpire. In other words, the one who helps to give guidance in the field of play, to tell us what's wrong, to tell us what's right. And so Paul is encouraging the believers to use Christ's great peace to settle all disputes that may cause conflict between the various believers. And then finally, we come to our 3:16 verse for this morning. Again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Christ's message, in its richness, must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Reflecting upon a person's life, we've heard it say, well, you know, so-and-so lived a full and rich life, right? And when we know that word rich is used in that context, it doesn't mean that person lived a wealthy life, as if to refer to material wealth. It means that the person lived a life that was filled with meaning, purpose, experiences, and beneficial relationships. And here, Paul is saying that the Christian Life should be a life in all of the richness of Christ, filled with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, all encompassed in the way that we had understanding from the way Christ lived his life. Paul is telling us, live that Christ-like life and live it in our hearts. The word here, to dwell, seems to actually mean to dwell in your hearts, means to indwell in the very depths of your being. And you know, Paul knew that this did not happen automatically. It happens through discipline. And so he gives us some suggestions as to what we should be doing. He says, teach one another with the knowledge of God's wisdom. He says, sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. He says, sing with thanksgiving in your hearts. Have you ever had a time when you just really felt like you were run down? You just were just wondering how things were ever going to sort themselves out. And yet, a hymn can come into your mind. And you know, if you just start singing that hymn to yourself, do you know how uplifting, how upgirding that can be for your spirit, for your mind, and for your soul? You know, again, Paul knew that there was great blessing in, again, being taught the Word of God, but also singing and celebrating the understanding of our faith through songs. You know, we read the Psalms in the Old Testament, but in their original form, the Psalms were actually songs. It's just that the translation of them as being songs of praise kind of gets lost in our English translation, does it not? So we just read the words, and sometimes we wonder, what does that really mean? No, if we knew them in their original context, we would know they are songs of celebration and praise to God. And so it is even for us. To the extent the Apostle Paul is instructing the Colossian Christians in much the same way that a coach would instruct his players in the art of becoming a team. A coach trains his players to know the playbook. The football players know the movements of the next play. As the quarterback simply says, we're going to do thus and so play. All of the players know exactly what that means. You know, when our son was plodding his way through school, I want to play football. And we kept saying, no, we don't want you playing football. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to get damaged. It's going to make it tough for you to get to the Air Force Academy, which you say you always want to do. Well, we made our way to West Texas from Lincoln, Nebraska. And, of course, he jumps in there sophomore year. He wants to play football. Well, he gets on the team. Well, the problem is all those boys had been playing football with one another since fifth grade. They knew all the plays. And not a one of them was interested in teaching Jonathan what they were. So he'd be out on the field, and there'd be a certain play, and he'd be off running off somewhere else. He wouldn't know what's going on. He didn't know the play. Thankfully, he just played that one semester, and that was the end of football. He played tennis from then on. That saved him from getting hurt. We were grateful. But you know what I mean? You got to know the play. And so it was that here, Paul was trying to say, be taught in the ways of Christ. Walk that Christian life, and you will know the playbook. And you know the benefit of singing hymns of praise? What does it do? It unites us. You know, when we're all in the stands, when we all get back to that, and we're all rooting for the team, we have certain chants. We have the wave. We have different other kinds of things we do to show our support for the players on the field. We're not on the field, are we? No, we're not. But we're there for them, are we not? So that we feel that we are all united. It's in those chants and everything else we do together that we find that common bond of unity. And so it is, Paul is saying here in this verse again, teach one another, sing songs of praise and celebration, for it all will unite you together in the ways of Christ. And then in conclusion, we get to the 17th verse. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Everything you do or say should be done in the name of Christ. Wow, that sounds like an awfully tall order, doesn't it? But you know, as we become immersed in Christ's ways, it becomes natural. Every day, in essence, the Christ-like way of living becomes who we are. Over the years, I've had people ask me, well, did you serve in the military? I say, well, yes. Not only that, I grew up as a sergeant's kid. And I tell you, you want to talk about being indoctrinated, just have a mother who is from a sergeant's family. You know, I was. What makes you ask the question? What makes you think I was in the military? Somebody will say, well, it's just your demeanor, or it's just the way you carry yourself. Oh, I didn't know. Have you ever had somebody ask you, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Oh, well, what is it that makes you want to ask? What is it about me that would make you think I might be a Christian? I'd kind of like to know. Oh, well, it's just kind of like the way you are. It's the way you present yourself. It's the way you talk. Even some of the words you use, one person said to me, even some of the words you use, you must not only be a Christian, you must be a preacher. Well, yeah. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, you use words like blessing or praise or things like that. Just hints. Well, yeah. I guess so. You see, that's what the essence of this entire text of verses 12 through 17 is all about. Paul is saying, uphold the Christ-like way of life. Because if you do that, and all of you do that as fellow believers, there will be a profound level of unity, peace, joy, and celebration of being a part of the family of God. And goodness knows we really need that, do we not, today? So, today we add an 8:3:16 verse to our collection as we're continuing to make our way through these 3:16 verses of the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Christ's message, in all its richness, must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day for you to consider becoming a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We turn to our invitation hymn. It's the number 610 in your flyer. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 3, please, of Living for Jesus. May we stand. 610.
Striving to please him in all that. give thyself for me. I owe no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee alone.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Next Sunday, we're actually going to take a break from these 3:16 messages because next Sunday will be Labor Day Sunday. And so we really do want to lift up what the scriptures have to say about the labors of our day. And so I hope we'll have fun with that. I wish you all the very best as you make your way through this new week. And may we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, we do give thanks for the privilege to share and worship in your house. Guide us today as we step forward into the task of this new week. Lord, for those with significant need, we pray your blessing, your comfort, your renewal and strength, as we know your Spirit also walks with us day by day. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Ron, thank you for joining us. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Y'all are the Jacksons, are you not?
Yes.
I heard y'all were going to be coming to visit, right? Well, thank you.
It's very nice to be there.
Thank you. Kelly and Tim, well, bless you both. Thank you for sharing with us. Oh, well, thank you. Hope you'll feel welcome to join us again. Thank you. Bless you. Good to see you, Gail. God bless you. Bryce, thank you for the groceries. By the way, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
When you say active, does that mean you can do the food supplies, the pantry, or anything?
Well, right now it'll go to the food pantry. If you write a check, it'll go to the food pantry, because right now we're not doing